Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The lesson tonight is this: the riches of heaven. The riches of heaven. Matthew chapter 6. Find verse number 19. Matthew 6:19. Then if you would, please stand with me. I'm going to read a few verses out loud. We'll pray and then I'll start teaching. Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says this, starting with verse number 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If you'll look back at me, that last statement is a powerful statement. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I wish I had the time to talk about that. I won't. I wanted to refer to it, though. Understand, what you treasure, it's got your heart. And I would highly recommend you treasure Jesus, and that you treasure God, that you treasure heaven, and you treasure right things. Because your heart, see, it's deceptive. You want your heart connected to the right thing. God help us if your heart gets connected to the wrong thing. Let me pray, then we'll talk about this idea of the riches of heaven. Father, help us tonight. Might we be a little futuristic in our thinking? The reality of heaven is a little distant to us. We realize it could be just a breath away, but yet we lose track of that. Because heaven is in the stars, we think it's a long way away, but yet it's a reality, it's a real place. We're living down here. So Father, somehow tonight, help us to think about this wonderful place that you've created. Help us to think about your riches in glory and how those riches have been made available to us through Christ Jesus. Bless us as we study this topic tonight, please. Holy Spirit, help it to be revealing, convicting, inspiring, encouraging, life-changing for someone. Bless us now, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth." And then he tells us why. He said, moth and rust corrupts. It can be stolen. But he tells us when we lay up treasure in heaven, there's not moth, there's not dust, there's not corruption, and there's no thieves. God is trying not to increase himself. God is trying to increase us. I don't think God is saying, give your money to the cause of Christ because he needs your money. No, God is saying, give yourself to the cause of Christ because you need what you get out of it. Psalm chapter 8, verse number 1, talks about some of the riches of heaven. It says this, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens." Here the Bible's talking about the richness or the riches of his glory. You say, what is that? I don't know if I could exactly explain to you the glory of God, but boy, is that an enticing thought. You know, when Moses came down off the mountain from receiving the Ten Commandments, he had been with God and he had been in the presence of the glory of God, and Moses' face was shining. I'm not really sure exactly what is included in the glory of God, but it is a powerful part of the richness of what our God is, and someday we'll get to see that glory. So there's the riches of his glory. But not only that. In Psalm 148, verse 13, it speaks of the riches or the value of his name. Listen to this. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heavens." Do you understand that the name of Jesus? Now, there are some people that can sign a check, and by writing their name, they can transfer millions, yea, billions of dollars. You understand the name of Jesus? It is that name is above every name. Jesus can sign his name, and transfer universes. Isn't that amazing? So we see there's the riches of His glory, the riches of His name. There's the riches of the place called heaven, which is referred to as paradise. Revelation 2:7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, there are places across our globe that people consider paradises. If we began to name them, you could rattle off, you heard this place or that place, and you've seen pictures or maybe seen a little video clip of a place. But the paradise called heaven is the paradise of all paradises. And so, it's a rich place. Heaven is only one of God's properties. So, you don't want to be confused. It's not like there's this place called heaven and God is confined to this place that's called His heaven. No, I think there are heavens, and I think God is in control of all of them. He owns the earth and all of its riches. He owns the universe and its riches. And as I say that, I don't know if there is multiple heavens out there. I do know this: it's unfathomable what God owns and what God has created. Here's how God put it. He said it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love Him." We cannot even imagine what God is allowing us to become a partaker of when we get to heaven. It's unexplainable. The Bible mentions, I think it is in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, there's no way all the books in the world could record everything that is God's and all that God has done and will do. Tonight, we're going to talk about one of the places that is part of God's riches. We're going to talk about heaven for a little while. I wish you would let it encourage you. First of all, we're going to be there someday. So you're going to get there, and you're going to be there personally. But not only that, we have loved ones and people that have passed on, and they're there right now. Now, after I describe some of this, and just so you all know, I'm going to fall terribly short of explaining what heaven is really all about. I don't think that mortal tongue could describe the magnificence of the place called heaven. But I would tell you this, there's a good teaching in all of this. After you hear what we talk about tonight, it will help you to understand that our loved ones who are in heaven right now, they don't want to come back here. They're looking forward to us going up there. Because to come back here is a terrible step down. For us to go up there, it's a terrible step up, a wonderful step up. So let me just talk to you about a few of the things, about the riches of heaven. For instance, number one, the gate or the gates made of pearl. Now, I think sometimes we quickly talk about some of these things. I want to slow down a little bit tonight and talk to you in a little more detail. Gates made of pearl. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 21 says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Now, I'm going to talk about pearls in general for a second. In a moment, a couple points, I'm going to talk to you about how big these pearls are. But here, gates made of pearls. You know, there are a lot of different types of pearls. There's the pearl. It differs in value greatly. If you went out to shop, you would find pearls available to you at $300 each. You could find pearls worth $1,500 each out in the common market. A strand of South Sea pearls would cost anywhere between $1,000 to $100,000. And for you young people, when I say a strand, I'm talking about just that thing of beads that would go around someone's neck. Can you imagine? $100,000 pearl necklace. Sure would make a nice birthday gift, wouldn't it? And so if you ladies would like to get your husband something like that, I think he would appreciate it. A Tahitian exotic pearl costs anywhere from $500 to $25,000 per strand. But the Bible tells us that the gates in heaven are made of pearl. Now, like I said, in a moment, we're going to talk about the size of some of the pearls, but I just can't imagine that if there are multiple pearls involved, the gates are incredible in size. You're talking about lots of money just in the doors. Just in the doors, the gates of the city. You say, why is that? Well, when you get there and you look at the gate, you're going to see it and you're going to say, oh my, we just started. I mean, the door, the entryway, that's where you go in. So if that gate is there and I go in at that point, I'm going to see these pearls and I think our eyes are just going to bug out. Now, a pearl, that's not the most expensive of, if you will, jewels or valuables, but that's where we start. The Bible says, number one, gates of pearl. Number two, streets of gold. Streets of gold. Oh, we sing children's songs. In our song books, there's songs about the streets of gold. And I think sometimes we almost wonder if it's not make-believe, but the Bible's the real deal. And that means the streets in heaven are made of gold. Revelation 21:21, we read it a moment ago. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Some days ago, when I did a little checking, gold in America sells right now at about $1,500 an ounce. Now, an ounce is not very much. $1,500 an ounce. Now, remember, we're not talking about a ring for on a finger. We're talking about the streets are paved. It's not a top coat. You know, out here in our parking lot, we have asphalt. And you can put the asphalt down, and then you can come along and put a sealer over the top of it, and it kind of doctors it up and makes it look real slick. This isn't gold-plated. This isn't gold-coated. This is gold. Now, my experience in doing church parking lots, you're going to have at least 6 to 7 inches out there. Can you imagine? I'm pretty sure in heaven they'll probably do a little better than what you would in paving in the parking lot at the church as far as the depth or the thickness. And so, you know, in a minute I'll be telling you how big this city is, and there are streets that are going to go through it. I think they're all interconnected. It's really one big street. Wouldn't it be nice if that street was named after you? But that street is going to be paved with gold. Currently, or somewhere near there, and of course, the price of gold and silver and things like that, they really, really fluctuate all around the world and every day. But somewhere currently, the value, you would have paid about $19,000 for 1 pound of gold. Now, you got to be careful. A pound of gold would be quite small. You know, if you had a pound of feathers, the amount of space that a pound of feathers takes up is a lot. Now, a pound is a pound, but a pound of gold would be very, very small. Now, if they use gold bricks or bars to pave with, the cost of one brick would be $500,000 at 27.4 ounces. So one brick, and a brick would be a little smaller than what like a red brick that's on the outside of our building. It'd be about half of that size. Can you imagine? That brick costs $500,000. Now, I didn't do any brick research to find out how many bricks it would take maybe to cover a football field, and if I would have had time, I would have done it, but I'm going to tell you, it's a lot. $500 for a 27.4 ounce one brick, and all the streets are going to be paved with gold. Now, not just gold You can go to a nice jewelry shop. You could go to K Jewelers or Jared's or Walmart. You can go there and you can get different levels of purity in gold. You could get something that was gold plated, and that means there's a metal or a steel underwards, and they kind of dipped it in the gold. You could get something that's 10 carat, 24 carat. Now, pure gold, the Bible says pure gold is clear. It is so purified, it looks like glass. Now, the higher the purity of the gold, the more expensive it is. Now, when we're talking about this 27.4 ounce brick at $500,000 a brick, that's cheap earthly gold. Now, you're going to multiply its purity over and over again. This is just the streets. So you know what we did? We came to the gate, and there are pearls. They're going to shine until you're going to need your sunglasses on because it's going to be so bright. Then as you step inside the gate, you step into a street of gold. Now, if my mom's there, she's going to make me take my shoes off. No, not if my mom's there. She's going to be there. Mom, sorry about that. But my mother would say, take those shoes off. Well, I guess my shoes won't have any dirt. There'll be nothing dirty there. But I'm telling you, you're going to walk in and it's pure gold. Picture the streets, the highways. There used to be a joke, and I'll tell it. You've probably heard it multiple times. But a man died, and he was at the gate of heaven, and somebody said to him, why should we let you in? He said, well, I brought all this gold with me. You ought to let me in. I'll pay whatever it costs to get in here. He had a bucket of gold. And the man at heaven's gate said, what? You think you can get in here with a bucket of gold? He said, no way. You have to know Jesus Christ as Savior to get in here. He said, well, what would you do with my bucket of gold? He said, we'd use it to fill chuck holes in the street. Now, if you think about it, those streets, now they won't wear, and there won't be any potholes or whatever you want to call them, but wow, this is what they paved the streets with. Now, let me go on. We talked about that the pearls and their value, the streets of gold. Number three, I want to talk to you again about the pearls for a second, and I've just written down the term here in my outline, mega pearls. That means big. Okay? In Revelation 21:21, again, listen to the scripture. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. I'll read it again. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Do you have any idea how big one pearl would have to be for it to be a gate? That's incredible. What's more incredible than that is the oyster from which they took it. 12 gates, 12 pearls. A gate made of one pearl. Now, I got to toying with this a little bit. I thought about the height of a gate. Now, most of you that have a gate, in some cases, a gate is as high as the fence to which it's connected. I don't think that is necessarily the case here, because when I checked on the walls that go around the outside of heaven, they're 216 feet high. Well, let's just say that they wanted the gate to only be half as high as the wall. You still have 108 foot tall pearl, and you say, that's impossible. Is there anything too hard for God to do? Is there aught beyond His power? Oh no. That's not impossible. That's why He said, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Well, wonder if the gate is only a fourth as high as the wall. Well, you still have, 52 foot tall pearl? That's massive. Of course, the size and the quality of the pearl determines its value. Now, I'll tell you this. Whatever the most valuable pearl is ever in history, it was not at a minimum 50 foot tall, nor was it the quality of the pearl that there will be in heaven. These are mega pearls. Well, and when you got a pearl that big, you don't have to worry about anybody coming by and stealing it. Where do you put it? You can't tuck that one in your coat and walk off. Those are called pearls on steroids. So, the pearls, as I was talking about earlier, there are virtually strands of pearls that are sold at earthly quality at over $100,000 just for enough that are 20 inches or so to go around your neck. Picture the value of a pearl that even if it were only 25 foot tall. Wow. The streets are of gold. The pearls that make up a single gate. Number four, I wanted to think about the mansions for a moment. We all know that there are mansions in heaven. One of my favorite verses in the world is John 14, verse number 2. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." And that's Jesus speaking. Now, it didn't say there are a few mansions. It says there are many mansions. They have been built by a master craftsman. I forget where I was. I was somewhere recently and I was walking through a 7-bedroom home, which is real big to me. I was walking through the 7-bedroom home and the one that was living in it gave me the name of who developed it. And they said, this guy is known for his development of mansions and beautiful homes. And in my heart, I thought, ain't nothing. That's nothing. I have a mansion just over the hilltop. And the one who developed my home is the master craftsman of the universe, Jesus Christ. You say, why would you say that? Because in John 14, 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." I'm just dumb enough to take those words literally. I believe that Jesus, he has a mansion for me. Buckingham Palace is valued at $1.55 billion. Now that's a mansion. That's a little bigger than your place. $1.55 billion. The Buckingham Palace has 775 rooms, 78 bathrooms. Just think about it. 78 bathrooms. A lot of supplies needed to keep everything stocked up. The Buckingham Palace has within it ATM machines. It is 828,820 square foot of property. Let me say it again. 828,820. That's a whopper of a mansion. Heaven is better than that. Matter of fact, I'm not real sure that you won't have some type of a mansion that would compare. Why would God promise us this wonderful place called heaven and give us something equal to what's down here? Our mansion, if you understand properly, let me read a verse to you and point something real simple out to you. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Our mansion is inside his house. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm getting one. You're getting one. That's two. If we're all getting these mansions, and they're multiplied millions of people through history that trusted Christ, our mansions are inside his mansion. Wow. Buckingham Palace has nothing on us or on God. I wish I had time because I would love to tell you everything that I've been thinking about those mansions and how phenomenal that must be. It's just, well, I understand why he said, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for those of us that love him. I got to thinking this, number five. Although he is ultimately rich, it seems that God gives Jesus even more. Jesus is the richest of the rich, but God loves Jesus, and that's his only begotten son, and God gives him even more. I won't belabor this, but listen to this. This, what I'm about to read to you, is Revelation chapter 5. It's taking place in heaven, and it says this. I beheld, and I heard the voices of many angels. And so you know, this is futuristic. It's going to happen. It says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. Now, again, I take literally the words in the Bible. This is Jesus in the future receiving riches. So the richest of the rich is about to get richer. Jesus is God's son. He's the richest. But God has the ability to add to the riches of Christ. And here it says he was worthy to receive more riches. That's an eternal wealth. Now, let me tell you something about this. Here's what's exciting. God is going to make Jesus even richer than what he already is in the future. Did you know that the Bible says those of us that are saved, that we are joint heirs with Christ? I'm all for God giving Jesus more. Because I'm in on the deal. I'm in on the deal, and so are you. Let me go on, number five. King's crowns are multiple in heaven. They're everywhere in heaven. The king's crowns. Listen to Revelation chapter 4, verse number 4. It says, round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now these crowns are described multiple times, but they're crowns that the basis is gold. What kind of gold? It's pure gold. You say, oh, I love that shiny kind of yellowish color. I'm sorry. Pure gold is clear. Then there are jewels that are attached in these cases, and they're described. But there's all of these crowns in heaven. Well, what's it saying? It's a life of royalty. Now, listen to this. The king of Austria's crown at this time is valued at $16 million. Understand, that means this guy's hat is worth $16 million. The king of Bavaria, Germany, his crown is valued at $17 million. One hat. The king of the United Kingdom, his crown is valued at $39 million. It's made of sapphires, rubies, gold. It has 2,868 diamonds in it and more. That may be, from what I could find in all my research, the most valuable crown on this earth right now, worth $39 million. You would not want to misplace your hat if that one was yours. But I do want to tell you this. Heaven's crowns that will be there will make this world's crowns seem like the cardboard when you get down at Burger King when you get an order of fries. That's how powerful just the crowns are. So, and you know, I've been talking about this for about 15 minutes. All we've talked about are the doors, the street, and the hats. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Then we go on. Number seven, the walls. The walls, the Bible says, are made of jasper. Jasper. It says in Revelation 21:18, and the building of the walls of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Jasper stones are explained that some of them would call them diamond in the rough, or a diamond that is not as purified. The jaspers value, some sell for $200 each. Some jaspers come out about the size of a dime. Now, here's something I want you to understand. These lesser quality, if you will, diamonds, and remember, lesser quality in heaven, I'm not sure that that's possible, but these walls of jasper, the height, from all calculations, I can figure the height of the walls around heaven, it's 216 feet high. That's the walls. Now listen to Revelation chapter 21, verse 17. It says, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Heaven is 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. It has a 216-foot wall around it, with these great big pearls acting as gates. I don't know how tall they are, but I know they're whoppers. Do you understand? 1,500 miles wide, that's 275 times taller than Mount Everest. This is a phenomenal place. It's not this quaint little paradise tucked off in the corner of the universe where you check in like Disney World. It's not like that. Not like that at all. The cost of a wall is, you couldn't calculate it. There's no way to figure it out. Heavenly jasper would be totally pure and worth multiple times what earthly jasper would. That's what the walls are made of. I'm talking about their privacy fence. The fence around the backyard in heaven. Let me go on, number 8. The city's foundation is made of all manner of precious stones. Now, the foundation, what do we talk about? Well, you have to understand, if there would, you know, when you build something, there has to be foundation. That's something that kind of goes under the earth on which what you're building is built on top of. Fence, a 216-foot high fence would have to have a pretty deep foundation. And that's just the fence. When you get to talking about God's house, now remember, all of our mansions are inside of his house. So the foundation, that is what you don't see. Now we're talking about what is under the heavenly dirt. Just what's under the heavenly dirt, the foundation, the Bible says, thereof. You know, in the ground, you pour what they call a footer. I think that's what they call it. You put a footer, you put that foundation. Now remember, heaven is 1,500 miles square. Can you imagine how deep the foundation would have to be to hold up everything? It's I don't know how you would calculate it. Jasper is about $200 minimum in value each in allotments. Sapphire, the best ever, was one carat was sold for $135,000. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 19 through 20, it gives you this long list of all these valuable jewels that are used. You say, what for? The foundation. Have you ever helped to dig a foundation? You know what they were doing? I don't know when it was built. Maybe it always has been. But I can tell you this. They were bringing Mack truckloads of jewels in. They were dumping them, and the angels were shoveling them up and throwing them into this pit that was so deep. I don't know how deep it was. Anybody here, I remember after September 11, when when the Trade Center and things were bombed in New York, I was down that way not a long time afterwards. I seen some of the holes for the foundations of the buildings that had crumbled. You didn't want to get close to the edge because of how far down in you could fall. Do you understand how long it took the angels to shovel in all the jewels that were thrown into the foundation for the building? And this isn't even anything you see. This is what's under what you see. The quality of the quartz that is mentioned in the scripture is amazing. An emerald. June 21 of 2017, Harry Winston bought the most expensive emerald ever. He paid $5.5 million for one emerald. Emeralds are mentioned as being used in the foundation. Now, I will guarantee you, the emeralds in heaven are more valuable than one that Harry bought. He only bought one for $5.5. They filled the entire foundation with emeralds. Now, If we're in heaven and you can't find me, I'm probably out digging for treasure somewhere. I'm ready for it. Topaz is one of those mentioned in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 and 10. The highest valued are the pink topaz. The largest pink topaz ever found was a 79-carat topaz. That's a pretty big stone. Now, here on earth, one of the things you do when you go out to buy a house, you go out to buy a building, you better take a look at your foundation. Because if the foundation is faulty, then the rest of the building is in jeopardy. Well, I'll guarantee you something. What the foundation of heaven is built on is lasting, and it will never deteriorate. Let me go on. Number 9. In heaven, there is a richness in fruit. Fruit. Revelation 22, verse number 2, it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Here it talks about 12 manner of fruit. Now, there's a couple of ways of looking at it. It says giving fruit every month. That may be that maybe it gives out all 12 fruit every month. Or it may be that there are 12 different kind of fruit, and they bear in January, one bears. In February, one bears. But I don't know. Now, the average fruit tree here on earth yields fruit once a year. Apple trees bear apples once a year, and some bear every 2 years. Peach trees bear once a year. Pear trees bear once a year. Maybe some pear trees won't even bear fruit except for every 24 months. But according to this, there will be fresh fruit and ample fruit 12 months out of the year. Now, let me tell you about something. Where you come into different seasons here and you can't get fruit, or the fruit, the prices escalate because the fruit's out of season. When you get to heaven, the fruit won't be out of season. It will always be fresh. You won't ever have to worry about a pesticide. You won't ever have to worry about a worm. You won't have to worry about a bruise on your fruit. I like bananas. I don't like them when they're black. There won't be any black bananas. I'm really happy about that. And I think if you don't know, the Bible teaches there's going to be food in heaven. There's a thing that's called the wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, why would you call something a supper and not have food? And so there is no miscalculation. We are going to have food in heaven. There's going to be fruit there. There's going to be food there. I'll tell you this. I think my favorite part about going to a wedding is wedding cake. Now, you know, the ceremony and getting married and stuff, that's okay. But wedding cake, isn't there something special about wedding cake? A wedding cake almost always has a delicious icing. It's so moist. I'm telling you, at the wedding supper of the Lamb, I'm going to get a piece of that cake. I think, and the Bible is telling us in heaven, there is a richness in the food, and there's a richness in what we'll have. I've been to some pretty swank hotels. I've been to some very high-end hotels. Not that I paid for, but I've got some friends that have helped me to stay in them. And sometimes they'll put hors d'oeuvres out. I used to call them hors d'oeuvres, but they're not. It's called hors d'oeuvres. You know, I'm a pretty classy guy. But boy, I look down at that food and I think, good gravy, look at that. I couldn't even figure out what part of it was. Had names that you can't pronounce, but boy, did it taste good. Folks, when we get to heaven, it's going to be better than the fanciest food that all the kings in the world get to enjoy. That's what God's prepared for us. Heaven's rich, and we get to go there. But not only that, let me go on. Number 10, there's a multitude of kings and queens in heaven. A multitude. You say, who are they? That's us. You'll see in a moment. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Well, Jesus is a king. And we're his brothers and sisters, if you will. That makes us in the lineage of the king. Now, we've been studying the kings in Sunday school, and there was a bloodline. You say, but I'm not of pure blood. Well, when you got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ saved you. That's more important than the human blood that beats in your heart. But there are multiple kings. We get to be like little kings and queens, if you will, in the big kingdom. Lots of kings equals lots of wealth. Everything in heaven is bigger and better than on earth, except for some things that are in Texas, I suppose. The wealthiest king on the earth at this time is a king in Thailand. And they say he's worth $30 billion. He will be a pauper in heaven because of the riches in heaven. Let me go on, number 11. There's enough provisions in heaven for all the inhabitants for all eternity. Hey, here in North Carolina, if they tell us it might snow, about 3 days before, everybody runs to the store and they buy bread. Because everyone's scared to death they're not going to have bread. Now, they hadn't eaten bread for 3 weeks prior, but they had to get that bread. And you can go into the store, and all the bread's gone. You won't have to worry. In heaven, there won't be a rush on the bread. Not going to happen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, verse number 16, it says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat. You say, well, why won't there be sunlight? We won't need sunlight in heaven. You say, how are we going to see? Well, Jesus will be the light. That's the glory of heaven. He'll light up the purity of heaven. Now, here the Bible says everybody will have everything they need when it comes to food. They'll hunger no more. Now, that's a lot of food. I think there are going to be a lot of Baptists in heaven. You want to have a big day at a Baptist church, offer food. They'll come from everywhere. There's going to be a lot of food in heaven. Hey, it also says, neither shall they thirst anymore. Can you imagine how many bottles of water must be in heaven? Now, there won't be any bottles of water in heaven. But there's water, there's food. I don't know. I got to looking. I don't know if it'll be buffet style. I don't know how it will be. But if you've ever been on a cruise, one of the most dangerous parts about a cruise is the food. 24 hours a day, they put food out. If I were you and you're going to go on a cruise out on the ocean, I would go on a crash diet for about a month before so that once you get there, you can tear into it without reservation and you can eat. I remember I had room service when I was on this cruise and I could order anything I want because it's all a part of the package. I'd never had room service before. I'd call, they'd deliver it. An hour later, I'd call, they'd deliver it. Mr. Owens will tell you, I had plates of cookies stacked up in my room and French fries, hot French fries, 1 o'clock in the morning. I did not have to go get them. They brought them to me. Man, hey, French fries salty, cookie sweet, French fries salty, cookie sweet, all night long. You say, weren't you worried? No, I had French fries for breakfast. All I wanted. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I have been on a cruise where you get all the food you want. Well, that's nothing compared to heaven. And let me tell you, and then for some of us that have enough, that may not be as enticing. But there are some that would say, what? I can have all the food I want? Yeah. No, the jewels won't mean to some people. What do they care about the jewels and the gold? But the food? There are people out there that's a big deal to them. You know that currently right now, the fast food restaurant that has the most franchises of any fast food is Subway. They have 44,229 stores. Can you imagine? They serve 7.6 million subs a day. That's a lot of business. In heaven, there'll be food enough for all eternity for everyone. Fresh, pure. You'll never get a stomach ache from the food. It's pure. What a buffet. Again, if I'm not out back digging for jewels, you'll find me at the French fry bar in heaven. Hey, let me tell you, and I got just a couple more things, so bear with me. Number 12, the thing of greatest value in heaven is Jesus Christ. The thing of greatest value in heaven is Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 7. It says, "Howbeit, I believed not the word until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard." This is speaking of Solomon's wealth in his day. What had happened is a lady by the name of Queen of Sheba had heard about how wealthy Solomon was. She went to visit and she said, "I can't believe everything they're trying to tell me about how rich this guy was." She traveled for months to get to visit Solomon. She was there, didn't even get to see half of what he had. When she walked away, she said, "The tales don't even come close to telling the reality." She said, "The half cannot be fancied." Now, there's a song that we sing. "The half cannot be fancied, this side, the golden shore." Listen to this. Let me tell you about Solomon for just a second. I dug in and studied a little something. Solomon's wealth in his day, he gained 25 tons of gold each year. Now, he reigned from 970 B.C. to 931 B.C. He reigned for 39 years. That means in his 39 years, he gathered 975 tons of gold for his kingdom. That is translated in today's wealth at $2.2 trillion. That's what Solomon was worth. Jeff Bezos, is that how you say his last name? The guy that owns Amazon? He's worth $136 billion. If Solomon were alive today, he'd be worth $2.2 trillion. Now listen, the Queen of Sheba went to visit Solomon. She heard how wealthy he was. She walked away and said, "I thought they were exaggerating." She said, "They're not even telling half of how wealthy he is." Then there's a verse in the New Testament, Matthew 12:42, that says this: "The queen of the south," that's the Queen of Sheba, "she shall rise up in judgment with the generation she shall condemn, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." So Jesus Christ is the one that is greater than Solomon. And the half has not been fancied. Jesus is the most valuable thing in heaven. And, you know, we tease, when I get to heaven, I'm going to the French fry bar, I'm going out back, I'm going to dig on the fence, and because it's made of jewels and all. But the truth is, when you get to heaven, you're going to run to the throne, because that's going to be the most attractive and the thing that draws you the most. Two more points, and they'll be very quick. Number 13, this is where you are going, and if you have loved ones that have passed away and they're saved, this is where they're at right now. They're in heaven in this place. And, you know, I've not even touched on the wealth. I couldn't. There's not enough time. I took the things that I could quickly teach you in a matter of just a few minutes. Luke 23:43 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." No wonder it's called paradise. Your loved one is there right now enjoying its splendor. They want to see you again, but they don't want to come back here. They want you to go up there. They long for you to get there and see it. Heaven is a real place. Heaven's a real place. That's where we're going. That's where our loved ones are. Now, point number 14, and I'm finished. I think that's one reason why he asks us to give to him and to serve him. It says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Did you know he is worthy of our offerings? He is worthy of our tithe. He is worthy of our love. He is worthy of our respect. He's worthy of you cleaning up your life. I think someday you're going to get to heaven, and those that have been rebellious about cleaning up some part of their life, let me tell you something. You're going to get there, and you're going to realize what he made available to you, and you're going to think, how petty I was. There were things down on earth I would not give up for him to clean up my life. There are things I would not do for him down there. Now that I'm here, wow, I am embarrassed that I was so self-centered and stingy. Huh. And it says, all these things shall be added unto you. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ to what the Heavenly Father has. And He's made everything He has available to His Son. The lesson, the riches in heaven. I've not even brushed the surface. I think I took about 9 hours when I got to studying this. And I was just, I was racing through verses and looking things up. And I thought, this is awesome. This is incredible. And it's ours because of Jesus.